Coming up on Golf Today, listen, we're all getting a surprise gift this holiday season. It's Tiger Woods back on the golf course, swinging clubs, competing. We dive into our five favorite Tiger moments and what we're most excited to see come Saturday. Plus, release the Kokrakken, Kevin Na, Jason Kokrak, Florida, the QBE. The fellas birdied 12 of the last 13 holes on Sunday to win in Naples. We'll take you through the highlights from a clutchy close. And golf, with its format and superstars, its rules and its quirks, it is absolutely, most definitely not a normal sport. So Kyle Porter from CBS wrote a book about all this. He named it Normal Sport. We'll have him on the program to discuss 2021 as a whole. Golf Today starts now.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Welcome into Golf Today. It's Monday. Damon Hack alongside Shane Bacon. Tiger Woods is back. My buddy, this could be the most watched week in golf, and it's December.
You think about what we saw from Nelly Korda this year. You think about Hideki at the Masters and Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship. We get to mid-December, and you said it. I mean, who's not turning on the TV this weekend to see Tiger out there with the sun getting a chance to swing the golf clubs? I don't think any of us had this on our wish list in 2021.
82-time winner on the PGA Tour, 15 major championships, but I don't think we ever saw him smile more than we did last year when he's playing alongside Charlie Woods.
And they competed. That is the important part. They weren't just out there playing golf. They were competing. I feel like it might be a bit of a different story here in 2021. The focus, of course, will be Tiger, the golfer, just being out there on the golf course as a dad. But, you know, Tiger, he could surprise us with something.
They finished tied for seventh last year. Who knows what this week will bring. But I tell you, one of the best gifts of the year. Finally here, Tiger Woods will tee it up in this week's PNC Championship in Orlando with his son, Charlie. This is the first time we will see him play competitively since this event last year. You can watch Tiger in action Saturday at 1:30 on Golf and 2:30 on NBC. Well, coming up next on Golf Today, we're continuing to celebrate Tiger's return to golf this week at the PNC Championship. LA-based radio host Ted Sobel has followed the life and career of Tiger. He joins us next. We look ahead to this weekend's event in Orlando.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And the Symetra Tour, road to the LPGA. And the RTX Zipcore Wedge from Cleveland Golf, it's what's inside. And by Skechers. Be comfortable with Skechers Go Golf Pivot Footwear, worn by Brooke Henderson.
We are back on Golf Today. You're not going to want to miss this. Tiger back in action over the weekend at the PNC Championship. You can watch coverage Saturday at 1:30 p.m. on Golf and then 2:30 on NBC. Take it back to 1992, D. A very young Tiger Woods. We didn't know what we'd get from this guy. We knew that he would bring the fans and the crowds, but we sure didn't know Tiger Woods would become Tiger Woods.
Couldn't have known. Couldn't have known. Apparently, this attracted not just sports media, but it crossed over to entertainment. And someone who's been covering Tiger since his early steps, Ted Sobel, award-winning LA radio sports reporter and anchor who was there at Riviera when Tiger teed it up as a 16-year-old. His book, Touching Greatness, features stories of his experiences with some of the best athletes in the world, including Tiger Woods. And right now, we're joined by my good buddy, Ted Sobel. It's great to see you, pal. From Tiger to Kobe to Vince Scully, you have been in the middle of the L.A. sports scene since the 1970s. How did this book, Touching Greatness, come together?
Well, first, it's great to be with you guys, Frick and Frack. I'm not sure which one is Frick or Frack, but it's all a good thing. Hey, you know, it's one of those things where so many people were telling me, you got stories about this guy, that guy, not just the Tigers and the Kobes of the current era, but we're maybe formerly like Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio and just the old timers. So I just thought, you know what? I think it's time to write this book because people want to know. So it's been a fun process and took me 3 years to do it. And now it's out on Amazon and just sharing the stories.
Seems like a good holiday gift, by the way, for everybody listening. That seems like a really, really good holiday gift. Ted, you rarely do journalists really get to truly watch a great athlete from the start to the finish, all the way throughout their career. Tiger Woods' journey has been one that has had ups and downs. What's it been like following Tiger Woods, the man, Tiger Woods, the golfer?
You know what? That's a perfect way to put it, Shane, because it has been, it's an up and down story, because so many times we've had this incredible high. And then in the around 2008, after that, 9 and 10, we had the lows, and then wondering, would he ever come back? What I love most about Tiger is how he's evolved as a person. And I compare him to Kobe Bryant a lot, because there are some similarities. You know, there were guys that they're playing a sport where they were totally into themselves for so long, and then they evolved as a person, and they brought not only the media into it, but the fans as well. Because there was a long time where Tiger, you know, he didn't interact with the fans. It was always Phil did that, but Tiger didn't. And I like the way he's changed. But I remember Tiger at the start in 1992. It was really interesting. It was the Pied Piper, a bunch of people following him around Riviera who really didn't know who he was. But we had this early hype that, you know what, this guy's supposed to be the next big guy. And we had a chance to talk to Earl Woods that day, and Earl was hyping him. Oh, he's not just going to be a great golfer. He's going to be the next Gandhi. And, you know, that's asking for a lot. And we used to joke, okay, just hit the ball in the fairway on the first tee, which is what he did, and the rest is history.
Well, you were there, Ted, as you mentioned, on that beautiful first tee at Riviera. Was he already transcending sports and attracting different media even back then?
Absolutely, Damon. It was Hollywood Reporter and Entertainment Tonight, and they were all there that week. But, you know, he didn't make the cut. So it was just a matter of, hey, can this kid live up to who he's supposed to be? And you know what? He was fantastic. Everybody, every time he hit a great shot, it was something different about it. And I remember following him back and forth after his round, where he didn't do the normal press conference. We'd have to follow him back to the driving range. And then there were probably 100 of us standing there. And as you know, guys, that's not the norm. It's usually a handful of reporters and that's it. And it was crazy, but it was so much fun because of being different.
Always been different in golf specifically. What's been the hardest part of explaining the career of Tiger when you look back to 1992 all the way to 2021?
Well, I think the hardest part is just how he's changed. You know, to me, I always thought it was fascinating that he would change his swing over and over again. And the rest of the world was like, no, can I have that swing, please? Because, you know, you guys were talking about your signature moves. My signature move would be to break a club over my knee early on. And I just want to be able to swing a club anything like Tiger Woods. So, you know, just the fact that he changed as a person, but he continued to be great at whatever level. And to me, it was such a thrill to be able to cover him from that first day at Riviera in 92 to being lucky in 2008 to when he won at Torrey Pines with the broken leg. I was going back and forth from the Forum covering the Lakers and the Celtics finals that week. So that was a crazy week for me. And I didn't want to see a Monday morning playoff, which happened. I think that's the last time that's happened at the U.S. Open. I didn't want to see that because I had to drive all the way back down to San Diego to cover it, but it turned out to be very special. And then fortunately, I was there as well for the Masters in 2019, and what an unbelievable week that was.
Well, speaking of the Lakers, you write so movingly, Ted, about the figures you've covered, from Kobe speaking Spanish to your wife to the great chat you had with Ben Crenshaw about Tiger before that 2019 Masters. How much harder is it to get that access and trust with athletes these days?
Oh, it's much harder than ever because they are so protected by the organizations they're with, or, you know, like in golf situation, it's their own game. They can do whatever they want. So it's a little bit different, but from a team sport, it's, you know, in the past, they always wanted to pay for our meals. They wanted us there. Now it's, you know what, you guys pay. And if you don't have to show up, that's okay, because they can control the narrative. And they have their own people on their websites doing whatever they want to do. So it's a lot different than it used to be. But with Kobe, you know, he was so difficult at the start because he was the kind of guy that was so into himself as just overly focused. He wanted to do whatever it took to win. And that was his issues with Shaquille O'Neal. You know, Shaq was more of a happy-go-lucky kid, and he was doing his own thing. And Kobe was like, no. You got to work 24/7 to be able to be the best in the world. And that was a giant clash all along, no doubt. But I love dealing with Kobe. The last several years were the best because he turned out to be a really friendly guy who put his arm around you and just treated you like a buddy.
Ted, I'll leave you with this. Tiger embarking on what we think will be his last chapter as a player starting Saturday with his son. What are you expecting to see?
Well, you know what? I'm not expecting to see a lot. I'm just hoping to see him have fun with his son, which is a total pleasure. The question I haven't heard asked yet is, what about the strength in his leg? How is that going to hold up for the walks? You know, people say, well, he should go to Augusta and play as soon as possible. Well, we all know that is an extremely hilly course and very difficult to walk. How is that going to affect his game? I would think it would affect it a lot. So hopefully he'll have the strength in his leg over the next several weeks and months that could build up where he can play a little bit more competitive. This week, I just want to see smiles and laughs. I'm just so glad he's healthy again, and it's going to be a blast to watch the interactions between him and Charlie.
All eyes on Orlando. The book is Touching Greatness, available on Amazon. Ted Sobel, one of the greats to do it. Thanks for your time, pal.
Thanks, guys. All the best. Enjoy Tiger this weekend.
All right, from one author to the next, I'm going to catch up with CBS Sports golf writer Kyle Porter, who had a new book come out about 2021. He focuses a lot of that time on Mr. Phil Mickelson with the PGA. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That happened this year. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
2021. Back on Golf Today, and there are funny follows on social media. There are good people. There are must-follows. Kyle Porter kind of falls under all those.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's funny. He's unique. He started this normal sport thing around golf, just posting images, as you see here, or quotes, or results.
Where the game in a great way.
Nothing normal about it.
He's such a good follow, great writer. I've listened to him on NLU's podcast, and I love that he's taking this next step.
This is his book, Normal Sport. He's recapping 2021, the season of golf. Said he was inspired because his wife, who of course is very close to golf because she's married to Kyle, forgot who won the Masters. And it took us a couple seconds to remember who won the Masters because so much has happened in 2021. Kyle Porter sending this. I can't believe this ridiculous bit turned into a book, but here it is. I downloaded it. I've read it. It is awesome. It is everything you'd want. Kyle Porter, one of the greats in golf, one of the best people you'll ever meet and talk to, joins us now. And Kyle, when did Normal Sport, the bit on Twitter, begin?
Well, I actually had to go back and look at this, Shane, because in my head, it began at Bay Hill this year. There's an image of Tyrrell Hatton bending down, using his club like a cane to see if there was like mud or a bug on his ball. And that, in my head, is when it began. But I actually went back and looked at Twitter. I think it happened at Wingfoot last year. Phil Mickelson had a shot out of, like, it was kind of on the side of a bunker, but it was in the grass. But he was standing in the bunker and holding his club up, you know, like we've seen guys have to hit balls from way above their feet. And it's just, it's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, think about this, Shane and Damon. Think about, we see guys hit balls out of these hospitality tents. Think about Patrick Mahomes taking like a second and 15 out of the fourth row at Arrowhead. I mean, it gets normalized because we see it every single day that we're covering this ridiculous game. But when you take it out of its context and look at what's actually happening, it's completely insane. And I wanted to kind of document all of that for people's entertainment and for posterity of what was a really fun 2021.
Which, of course, brings us to Bryson DeChambeau, who takes up a lot of space in Normal Sport and also in our game. What was it like mining through his year, the shots, the quotes, and all the drama?
Well, Damon, I really thought that Jordan Spieth was going to be the through line of this entire thing. I thought from beginning to end, Spieth is kind of my go-to guy for just everything ridiculous that happens, but also some really insightful things as well. And it turned out to be Bryson. I mean, think about all of it. We forgot about half of it. He talks about UFOs at the PGA Championship. This is his drive, obviously, on number five at Bay Hill. But he's talking about UFOs at the PGA. He wears a shirt that has F equals MA equations on it. He's wearing a shirt right here with little Arnold Palmer drinks on it. I mean, every single thing that he does is completely, completely ridiculous. And he, in a lot of ways, embodies what this book and what kind of this bit or this meme is all about. Of just, it's completely ridiculous, abnormal stuff that we normalize within the sport. It's just like, I guess this is just the way things are. So Bryson is definitely the embodiment of that, I think, within the game.
Kyle, I've thought about for a few years that there's going to be a hole in terms of the way we look back on these seasons, the way we look back on golf. There just isn't as much writing like there were back in the day. Do you see normal sport kind of continuing that and becoming a go-to for those looking for this generation's best of sports writing?
Well, I would love for that to happen. You know how much I love writing, Shane, and it's, for me, it's a ton of fun to go back into the SI vault and read Rick Riley and Damon and all these guys that I kind of grew up reading about sports from. I didn't grow up reading you, Damon. You're not that old. But, the guys from yesteryear. And I so much of, I think, what happens now is either television or audio. It's a lot of podcasts, you know, the Shotgun Star guys, the NLU guys. And I wanted to have kind of a place in that space of, hey, here's all the stuff that mattered. It might not be all the stuff that maybe my grandfather cares about that mattered, but it's all the stuff that the group that I run with. And I think the people that are my age and around my age really care about when it comes to the game. So that was a big part of the reason for writing this book.
To be included in a sentence with Rick Riley is pretty cool. So thanks for that, Kyle.
I think you deserve it.
Well, that's very kind, both of you. But besides Bryson, what player fascinated you the most this season and why?
Oh, it's a great question. I always go to Rory. He's kind of my go-to for stuff like that. He didn't have a big place at the beginning of the year, but as the year wore on, obviously everything that happened at the Ryder Cup, this book is not just an irreverent look at golf. It's also, there's some serious parts, everything that unfolded with him at Whistling Straits, I thought was really fascinating. And I was standing right there. I got to talk to him about it afterwards. And there's kind of a whole section of the book that's about Rory's evolution and him kind of like growing up and different things like that. So he's up there. John Rahm, I think, for people that are in golf like us every single day, it's been obvious that John Rahm's kind of the best player in the world for the last 3, 4, 5 years. But he sort of introduced himself. Yeah, here's a great one. He sort of introduced himself by winning the U.S. Open this year. He also should have won Memorial and kind of won the Tour Championship. He finished T1, which I didn't know was possible at the Tour Championship. But here's a great example, another example of normal sports. So Rahm hits a ball, number 9, U.S. Open on Sunday. He yanks a drive, just pulls it. It should have been out of bounds. He gets relief. He gets a drop. And the reason he got a drop is because there's this endocrinology building. I'm not making this up. There's an endocrinology building off to the left on number 9 at Torrey Pines. And there's two fences. And he gets a drop from the first one because he's not beyond the second one. And you're like, this is deciding the U.S. Open. This is a completely insane thing that we just kind of go about our day as completely normal. So that was another example of just kind of pulling stuff out of the season, looking at it from a different angle and taking some fun from it.
And Kyle, the good news is nothing else weird happened after that moment with Rahm at the U.S. Open. It's not like a ball got stuck in a tree or somebody ran out in the fairway as Bryson's playing the par 5. What do you feel like you're going to remember 5 years from now about 2021? What's the one moment in 2021 that you think will stick with you 5, 10 years from now?
Yeah, I wrote about this in the book. It's the PGA Championship for me. The PGA was it was almost 2 or 3 tournaments kind of shoved into 4 days. You had the first 2 days, then the weekend in and of itself was almost a completely different event. And you got Phil here, Jim Nance's great call, Phil defeats Father Time. But, it was really from, I think, Saturday on, Shane, Phil birdies 10 on Saturday to go up like 3 or 4 with 26 holes left. And he just completely becomes the story in a week that had Brooks Koepka trying to win his 5th major championship. Phil just completely overshadowed everything. And I think Phil's name, really among all that, it kind of belied how badly he was playing. When he starts 2022, Shane, he will have gone 500 days and only have one top 10. And that top 10 is at a major championship. And it was a win at a major championship. And it was fun to look back on that because in May, you guys are doing this all the time. You're trying to contextualize stuff in the moment. And you think, okay, this is crazy. But Phil, I don't know. Phil said, hey, I might go on a run. Might win the U.S. Open. Might make the Ryder Cup team. And so you're like, well, I guess those things could happen. But now looking back, it's even more insane than it was in the moment. So that for me, as I went back through, it stood out as the season was taking place, but it stood out even more later on.
Kyle, is the PGA Tour in your mind as interesting in some ways as maybe it's ever been since you started covering the game?
Yeah, I think the reason for that, Damon, is because it's more ubiquitous than it's ever been. It's you have more access to it. There's a great tweet from Shane that actually made it in the book. He said, "Hey, you know, technology is not all bad. I just pulled up Hideki Matsuyama's third round from the Masters on my phone and watched it all in like 45 seconds." Which, again, that's very normal human behavior to pull up your phone and watch nine holes from a golfer that happened like 6 months ago.
Watch it this weekend, Kyle. Watch it again this weekend, baby. Hey, I watched it on Saturday.
I think for that reason, Damon, it is – I don't know if it's more interesting, but there's a bigger well to draw from because you're just seeing more of it. And so you get these kind of weirder slivers of things that happen that you can pull out and say, oh, this is kind of crazy. It's kind of bizarre that this happened. So I don't know that the players are, I think they actually might be less interesting than they've ever been, but because you have access to more content, I think it makes, if you look at it the right way, it makes the whole thing more intriguing.
Kyle, how can people check out the book?
Yeah, anormalsport.com. So anormalsport.com, you can download it there. There's no physical copy. It's just a digital version. And I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you use the code Golf Channel at checkout, you get, I think it was 20% off. So boom. Use the code Golf Channel at checkout, 20% off. Yeah, I hope people enjoy it. I poured my heart into it. I worked really hard on it over the last couple of months, and I'm really proud of the work that I did.
I legitimately, I'm not saying this because you're on the show and not saying this because you're a friend of mine. I can't put it down. And my wife is annoyed at me because she's like, you're seriously reading a golf book in December. This is when golf is supposed to sleep. So, Kyle, I appreciate you. Now I'm in trouble at home. And also, congratulations. You somehow turned social media into a positive, which is a very, very rare thing to do.
Yeah, that has been I've got my AirPods all over the place here. That I tried to use Twitter as a repository for this. So much of what we do just goes into the ether. And so it was, hey, let's pull out the stuff that mattered, put it in a book, and deliver it to people like this.
Love it. Discount Golf Channel with two N's, people. Hey, yeah, yeah. Kyle, great talking to you. Congratulations, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Tiger Week begins in earnest as the 15-time major champ gears up for the PNC Championship with son Charlie in what could be the most anticipated 36-hole event in history. And another Masters champ, Trevor Immelman, joins us to look ahead to his International President's Cup captaincy. Is victory in sight for the first time since 1998? And when was the last time you hit a hickory golf club? We visit with a man whose set includes a Brassey, a Mashey, and a whole bunch of Niblicks. Grab your Tammy. Golf Today continues now.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Second hour of Golf Today on a Monday. Shane, Damon. Damon, can we go back to Robel Brits for a minute?
Let's.
Just that video we just watched at the end of the hour there. I mean, kind of getting a chance to see the emotionals pour out of a 50-year-old guy. The moment that stuck with me was when he hung up the phone with his wife and you see him just collecting himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, this is something a lot of golfers will never feel, a lot of people chasing the dream. It's something I've had very, very small moments of, nothing to that level ever. But we always are hoping for these moments. We're always hoping to go out there and shoot our career round, or we beat the buddy we're always hoping to beat, or we win the member.
Yeah.
To actually do it rarely happens. And that's what's maybe so infuriating about golf is – you're hoping for the positives. You rarely get the positives. And when you do, you really want to hold on to it.
Rob's a local guy for us, Bedford Hills, New York, Glen Arbor Golf Club, one of the great spots in this metro area. And I would bump into Rob from time to time. He has, you know, you qualify for 8 PGA championships. Saw him at Belle Reve, always smiling. You know, he's the guy giving lessons. He's the guy trying to make you at home better. But always in the back of the mind is the dream.
Right.
Chasing it. Wanting to make yourself better and have a chance to rub elbows with the best in the world. And that emotion was just so raw and so beautiful. I love seeing it. I'm very, very happy for him personally.
We are lucky to get to cover this sport for these types of reasons. I mean, you rarely are you hearing a 50-year-old talk about, you know, setting a free throw record, or you're hearing about hitting something on the gun, right? I finally hit 85 on the gun. That doesn't happen for 50-year-old baseball players or basketball players or football players. You might get these stories in golf.
Yeah.
And that's what's so unique about this sport is we can chase the dream until we stop chasing the dream.
You said setting records, perfect segue for Tiger Woods, one of the biggest gifts of the year. Finally here, Tiger will tee it up in this week's PNC Championship in Orlando, Florida, with his son Charlie. They finished tied for seventh a year ago. This is the first time we will see him play competitively since this event last year. You can watch Tiger Woods, son Charlie, in action Saturday at 1:30 on golf and 2:30 on NBC.
All right, we're 5 days away.
Okay.
So we were asked to lay out the five best Tiger Woods golf moments ever. It's an impossible
just
task.
Just five? I wrote down like 53.
And that would have just been maybe the major moments. I mean, this is a guy that has accomplished everything you could accomplish and more in golf. You go to the juniors, you go to the amateurs, and then you go to the Masters, and you go beyond everything that he's able to do. I mean, we'll always remember the Curtis Strange interview. You'll learn.
Yeah.
He did not learn, D. He never learned because he just won.
So we broke it down. Five Tiger moments. Let's start with number five. So we're going to go from
It's a good place to start.
To one.
Okay.
I think so. Five to one. And this, you know, one of the greatest moments in the game. 2005, the chip-in on 16. Hadn't won a major since 2002. Had been working with Hank Haney since 04. Famously made seven birdies in a row from that Saturday night into Sunday.
That's right.
They finished the third round. And then he, of course, breaks Chris DeMarco's heart.
And didn't have a lot going that day, didn't
he?
Birdie the 13th. He makes birdie at 15, chip-in on 16. Then he goes bogey, and nearly loses to DeMarco with that chip-in. And then number four, of course, 2008, when Tiger Woods showed us that he's not just the toughest golfer out there, but arguably the toughest athlete alive with what he was able to do. 91 holes at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, broken leg, that fracture in the left tibia, torn ACL besides. Number three, just the Tiger Slam.
I mean, he wins by 15-8, a playoff, and two over David Duvall in 01 at that Masters. I always talk about the expectation for golfers, for athletes.
Yeah.
The expectation of what you're supposed to do at these tournaments. You're John Rahm now. You're the favorite. You're Bryson. You might be the favorite. Tiger was the favorite for years.
Yeah.
And to win four straight majors, I mean, your mental game has to be at another level.
Nobody ever played golf better, in my opinion, during that year. Plus, how about number two, 2019 Masters, where Tiger was kind of reborn playing chess while everyone else was playing checkers, built his body back, his game, his short game, his life, back to the point to win a fifth Masters and a 15th major championship.
Really, to me, when you talk about number two and number one, when you talk about 2019 and you talk about 97, you can almost just show the images in the video. I mean, that's how special these moments were. You and I can sit here and talk over everything that went down and how dominant Tiger was that day, but what he did in 19 and what he did in 97 will forever change what golf is about.
1997, I mean, brilliant, audacious, his first Masters as a professional. He shoots 40 on his opening night, and he ends up winning by 12 shots. And who could have known what was coming? You know, what would the game of golf look like? How it would change because of Tiger's brilliance to win by 12. What a statement. I'm not just going to win as a 21-year-old. I'm going to put the record so far out of reach. And to me, that was the seminal moment of Tiger's career where everyone around the world was going to pay attention this young man who would change the game of golf.
I mean, the hype going into it, the hype around Hello World and who Tiger Woods was back in 1996 and what he was able to accomplish in those U.S. amateurs, always coming from behind, always winning in Tiger fashion. And we didn't know what Tiger fashion was at that time. We didn't know Tiger was going to have this ability to be somebody different on the golf course than anything we'd ever seen previously. But to come out and live up to the expectations that quickly, you think about LeBron James on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know, the chosen one, and everybody talking about who LeBron James might be in the NBA, and for him to come out and do what he did early in his career, for Tiger Woods to come out in 1996 and then in the 97 at the Masters and to dominate it, and you said it, after struggling out of the gate, I mean, he shoots 40-30 in that opening round, and then it was never, ever, ever in doubt. And It was so dominating in that it not just changed golf, but it changed the way his competitors thought of golf.
Absolutely.
And the way they thought of Tiger and the way they thought about youth. Because this wasn't normal either. Now we see 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds come out and win on the PGA Tour and get themselves in the conversation in major championships. That didn't used to happen.
100% agree. I think the benefit goes to the Jordan Spieths and the Justin Thomases, but the scar tissue went to the Davis Loves and the Sergios and the Ernie Ellis's. And for a while, Phil Mickelson, who was bumping up against Tiger. I think what we have now, Tiger tees, Tiger-proofing golf courses, really because of what happened in that week in 1997.
So dominant, so impressive. I mean, par fives or par fours to Tiger Woods that week. Yeah. He would overpower the golf course and mix that with the brilliance in and around the greens. We had never seen someone that complete, D. We'd never seen someone play golf with that level of understanding. He was so much smarter than everybody out on the golf course at such a young age. He was able to move the ball both ways. He was able to knock in every five-footer he looked over. I mean, typically you see somebody come out of the gate and they have a lot of power, or maybe they have a lot of confidence. Mm. They don't always have everything. And Tiger had everything.
The mind, the skill set, it's not a fair fight, as Roger Maltby said famously.
Fill in the blank here. Player that is the most thankful for 2021.
I think it's Jordan Spieth. Wow. I really do. I think when you look at his year as a whole, you can talk about the 61 in Phoenix, holding out at Pebble on the 16th hole, of course, winning finally in San Antonio, that first win since the Open, and not having to answer the questions anymore about when are you going to get it done. He became a father this year. He played on the Ryder Cup team and had a great time with his pal Justin Thomas. To me, it's Jordan Spieth to have the grit and the wherewithal to put his game back together and having to answer questions after every round of golf, after every week. Where's your confidence level? What's it like trying to play in a U.S. Open when the ball is going both ways? He made it through that to find victory on the PGA Tour again.
As close as we are to the game, it's taken me going through this normal sport book by Kyle Porter to be reminded. I mean, a reminder of how dominant Jordan Spieth was for the first five, 6 months of the PGA Tour season. I mean, he was in and around the leaderboard on the weekend a lot.
Yeah.
I think some of the events you even forget at times that Jordan Spieth was close there. I mean, close at Augusta National.
Yes.
Through a couple rounds, he was playing solid. It looked like Jordan Spieth would be there again at a Masters. I think Jordan Spieth's a good answer. For me, it was Nelly Korda. Mm-hmm. And I think Nelly Korda is the easiest of these answers in terms of who is thankful for 2021. Nelly Korda was a great player going into 2021. She became the best player in the world thanks to her year. She won five times, including the gold medal at the Olympics and a major championship. And at times, she was unbeatable.
Yeah.
And the game showed it. We talked about Tiger Woods in 97 coming out, how far he could hit the golf ball, how in control the irons that he was. For Nelly, it was much of the same in 2021. She could bomb it. She got those fairway woods. You remember the KPMG PGA Championship, able to go about her business in that final round with some of those approaches at the par fives. And just the way she went about winning, I was so impressed with Nelly throughout the season. To me, Nelly, the most thankful for 2021.
Forrest Gump used to say, it's a household name. I mean, Nelly Korda became a household name in 2021. So we're about to flip the calendar. Who wants to see this year just put it behind them, go away, don't want to ever look at it again?
Well, you know, there were some names that came to mind to me. You could think of Justin Thomas, but he's always going to remember 2021 as the year he won the Players. And I was thinking about Dustin Johnson. But what he did at the Ryder Cup, he's going to think back to that moment when he's 40, 50, 60 years old. To me, it's a little bit of a name I think a lot of people aren't thinking about right now, and it's Webb Simpson. I think Webb Simpson is going to be very, very happy that 2021 is behind him. This is a guy that started the year sixth in the world. He's 27th. In the world right now. No top three finishes on the PGA Tour the whole season. The first time that happened for Webb Simpson since 2010. Not a single top 10 in a major championship. The first time since 2017 for Webb. And first missed cut at the Players, a place where not a lot of people can find consistency. Webb had found consistency at Sawgrass. First missed cut there since 2014 for Webb Simpson. When you look at his numbers,
we
did before the show. We were looking at what went wrong.
Not a lot.
And when you dive into the year, it isn't anything crazy. It just, he couldn't put it together. Webb's my answer. What about you?
Lexi Thompson, for me, when you think about the Olympic Club and that U.S. Women's Open, building that five-shot lead on the front nine and then shooting 41 coming home. And you kind of smile through it and just the shots that she struggled with. Of course, the wedges that ended up short, these missed short putts. And, you know, just kind of knowing the opportunity to be a national champion and to win a second major. And again, this is someone who from 2013 to 2019 won every year. It's something she did Didn't win in 2020. Didn't win in 2021. Had the opportunity at the
such
Pelican.
Such good opportunities.
And missed those short putts. And I think this is someone who is going to win again. But when you think about where she was in the game and what's happened to her the last couple of years and having to kind of smile through these painful moments on the golf course, I think she'd want to put these last 2 years behind her as quickly as possible.
Tennis players talk about being exposed out on the court. You know, you have the fans right on top of you and you're out there alone. Maybe you got your corner there with your coaches, but you're on an island, and golfers are much of the same, and even more so at times. I mean, of course, you've got your caddy walking with you, but for Lexi, you're standing on the greens. I mean, to me, that's the event that I want to forget the most in 2021 because it felt like it was going to be Lexi's U.S. Open. Yeah. And it's at a place that's so historic. The USGA has done such an unbelievable job at bringing the Women's Open back to these classic golf courses that we all love and respect, and it seemed like that was going to be the moment. That really, to me, was one of the hardest events to swallow the entire year.
Well, a lot to look forward to in 2022, and coming up next on Golf Today, on the anniversary of the international team's lone victory in the President's Cup of 2022.
Hey, looking serious.
Pez Cup captain, all business, T.I. Trevor Immelman.
Hey, is it maybe a new avatar?
We're going to get it
the
done.
Real serious look?
Ain't no hobby.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And the new King Glide Forged Pro Wedges, get fit today. And by GEICO, you could save even more by bundling home and car insurance.
The 2022 edition of the President's Cup will be contested at Quail Hollow, Charlotte, North Carolina. Fantastic club. Week of September 19th through the 25th.
Trevor Immelman, the captain of the international squad next year, joins us now with a very, very nice sweatshirt on. Trevor, how do you make your team more cohesive now in 2021 and into early 2022 so that when you get to Quail Hollow, it feels like a team and not just a group of guys?
First of all, great to join you guys. Thanks for rolling in that old footage. Nice to see those guys get it done there in 98. Look, that's going to be a huge hurdle for us, and something we're always working on is how do we find a way to bond even more as a team, come together, get to know each other. And it's been something that's been in the forefront of our minds for 3 or 4 years now, starting with Captain Else last time around in Australia. And we're building on it. And, you know, quite honestly, I'm happy to report that I think we're getting there. We're getting there. Guys are really starting to gel well. When I run into them at tournaments during the season, it's good to see guys going out, having dinners together, playing practice rounds together. So that kind of organic evolution for these guys coming together as a team is starting to happen, and it's a lot of fun for us to see.
Well, Trevor, also nice to see Jason Day as part of that 56 in Naples on Friday. Where do you see him now at 34, trying to work his way back to prominence?
Yeah, look, he's somebody that can be extremely important to our team, former world number one, major champ, but he's been struggling with this game. And so good to see him teaming up with Leash last week, and they had a great week together, just fell short there in the end. But I think that's the kind of thing, when you look at a player of his caliber, that really can jumpstart things for him, get a little confidence going. And as that starts to happen, for players of that caliber, it's like riding a bike. As soon as they can get that confidence back and they just tick over that belief in what they're working on, all of a sudden things can come back real quick.
Trevor, this international team could look a lot different in 2022. How exciting is it to have some new blood in the mix for the internationals?
Well, it's extremely exciting. Look, last time around, we had a bunch of rookies. We had 7 rookies on the team in 2019. And, you know, interesting to, when you kind of look back now, is that the thing that maybe cost us on Sunday when we weren't able to convert that lead? You know, that's something that we need to look back on and think through carefully and try and figure out what our strategy is going forward with that. But absolutely, we're going to remain a young team. I'm extremely happy with the way our new qualification criteria is working. Right now, if you look at the names in the top 8, the automatic qualifiers, still a long way to go. But when you look at that top 8 now, it's all the names that you would anticipate. But then, like you say, a lot of youngsters coming through. You're looking at guys like Garrick Higo and Minwoo Lee and Lucas Herbert. We've got this young Japanese guy, Takumi Kanaya, who's been a pro about a year now, top 50 in the world already. So, you know, these are the kinds of players in their early 20s that are starting to show that they can compete at the highest level. And with right around 10 months or so in the qualification period left, they're in a good position to make a run and see if they can automatically qualify or impress me enough to be able to get a captain's pick.
Trevor, how strange or unnatural is it to suddenly be a captain at 41, same age as Adam Scott, your similar vintage of Louis Oosthuizen and Mark Leishman, for crying out loud?
Yeah, it's different, for sure. But it's something I've thoroughly enjoyed. Look, Damon, I've been sitting with you and Shane working at TV for the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, I'm kind of one step or half a step removed. And so I have a slightly different perspective on the game, seeing it from a broadcaster perspective. But also I'm able to get out there with the work that I'm doing with the TV and spend a lot of time with these guys and really analyze their games, look at the numbers, spend a lot of time with them, get to know them and their families. And so I actually think it's been pretty good timing for me to be in this role and in this situation leading up to the next President's Cup.
Trevor, I'm always interested in the background of our guests, and you've got a nice bookshelf. But above your left shoulder, is that the Masters trophy? Is that the Masters trophy just nonchalantly on the bookshelf?
That was just a little flex for you, Shane.
Okay, I figured it would be kind of in a crystal vase or something. I mean, I thought it'd be something, you know, centered, but just right there on the bookshelf. I like that.
That's pretty sweet.
That's very, very cool. Trevor, we're looking forward to it, man. It's going to be great to watch. These team events are so different for everybody involved. So all the best with the team. Looking forward to 2022 in Quahala.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate the time. And anybody who wants to support our team, get out there and buy some of our merch on our fan shop. We'd really appreciate it.
Dude, I want one. I'm an XL. I mean, what else are you doing besides selling things? I mean, you guys are really kind of finding different ways to bond and come together because you're from all over the globe.
Yeah, look, we're trying to find a way to grow a fan base. And this is something that I'm extremely proud of. It was part of my vision for this team, is to be able to find ways that we can grow our fan base all over the world. When I sat back and looked at the different regions that we represent, I mean, this team represents over 1 billion people worldwide. And so for me as a captain, was my initial thought was, well, how can I tap into some of these people who love golf, who can get behind our team and support us? And so now really proud that we have this merch available for fans to get out there and buy it. The players are absolutely pumped about it and are enjoying the product as well. So this is something we're extremely excited about. So, I, because I work with you guys and I love you guys, I can speak to you like this. I expect you to get out there and buy something. Come on.
Wait a minute. Wait. Buy? We have to buy it?
I'll tell you what. If you buy one, I'll send you another one, Bacon. Don't be cheap.
I got 3 10-year-olds, Trevor. We got to make a deal.
He's got triplets. Give the man some free sweatshirts.
I need a discount. Tennis lessons are expensive.
Oh, Trevor, we appreciate it. Have a good rest of your December, my friend. Happy holidays.
See you guys, man. Have a good one.
Oh, man.
Plenty logo. More to come. There's the odds there. The points bet odds. For the president, we don't even know who's on the team. I got odds up.
I tell you what, I think the international team is going to bring their best.
You're going to sprinkle a little on that plus 300 is what you're talking about.
I might have. I like that number.
It's a good number.
I like finding the plus numbers.
Could put an investment on that if we, in fact, get sweatshirts in the mail.
Absolutely. That logo is pretty, pretty cool. Coming up next, folks, on Golf Today, we're going back in time to the days of Hickory Clubs, the co-founder of the Society of Hickory Golfers. Joins next. Welcome back to Golf Today. We're talking alternative golf this week. A lot of great guests, different styles of golf you may not be familiar with. Golf in Iceland, for example, 5-iron golf, and then utilizing Muni golf courses in the Toronto winter, kind of extending your golf season.
You're telling me I might be taking some of these tips to the Connecticut golf winter?
I think if it works in Toronto, it might work in Connecticut.
2000, the Society of Hickory Golfers was created to help popularize the sport, provide rules for Hickory golf tournaments, establish equipment standards. This is a group focused on Hickory golf players, not just golf collectors. Rob Berman, co-founder of Northwest Hickory Players, joins us now. And Rob, why have Hickories made such a comeback in recent years?
Well, you know, Shane, I think there's two things about humanity that are probably common with all of us. Number one, people like to collect things. So whether that's wine, books, artwork, cars, whatever it may be, we all have this innate desire to collect things. And the Society of Hickory Golfers grew out of the Golf Collectors Society. But the other thing is, when you collect things of antiquity, you're really a steward of these objects. And we all love the idea of having some connection to the progenitors of the game, which goes back centuries, even before old Tom Morris. So it's something really special to handle these clubs, most of which were all handmade, and to have some connection to the likes of Allen Robertson and old Tom and many of the other players from yesteryear.
Rob, you have this real kind of Renaissance man vibe about you. You're quite the musical background, managing orchestras. What's the synergy between music and golf, if any?
Oh, that's a great question. So as a music major in college, I spent inordinate numbers of hours in the practice room. That's a time where you're working on yourself and you're just working to get better and you're not comparing yourself to other people. To me, Damon, it's just like being on the driving range. You're there to get into a place of focus and concentration and work on developing your skills. So I think there's a definite analogy to the art of studying music in playing golf.
Rob, it looks the same. It has the word golf in it. But is Hickory golf different sport, a completely different sport than modern golf?
Well, I would say it's not a completely different sport. It's all one thread going back to the 1600s. I give Jordan Spieth props. He was playing gutty golf with these old long-nose clubs. That's what I like to do, too. That is harder than the modern Hickory golf game, which is pre-1935. But Shane, for most of us that are, you know, average golfers, I got down to a 9 handicap when I was playing moderns. The main difference is off the tee. So in Hickory golf tournaments, we're mostly playing around 6,000 yards for our tournaments. Once you're out in the fairway, you're really just playing the loft of the club. But the other thing I would say is some of us find the modern golf game a little bit one-dimensional. So if you're 140 yards from the pin and you approach your ball with modern golf clubs, you're probably only thinking of pulling one club out of your bag. But with Hickory golf, if you've got a 140-yard shot, there could be 3 or 4 clubs in your bag that you have to think about and choose between.
What's the best shot you ever hit with a Niblick or a Mashie or a Brassey?
Well, the best shot I ever hit was in Louisville, Kentucky at my home golf course. I eagled from the fairway on a par 4. And believe it or not, the very next day, I looked up the name of the club that was on the back of the iron that I used, and I mailed the club to that clubhouse. It was up in Canada, and I just thought, this club really deserves to be with them where it came from.
It's kind of a flex if you just hole out and then just mail all the clubs away. I think that's a very good flex. I like your style.
It's a pretty rare occurrence. I will say that my friend Andrew Von Lasso, who won the U.S. Hickory Open this year, had an albatross on a par 5 recently, and I was in the group behind him. It happens. It's not unlike Louis Oosthuizen on number 2 at Augusta. These things do happen. So there is a similarity to the modern game.
Rob, what's the typical reaction you get from players first taking Hickory's out?
Well, you know, I think the main thing is, number one, people that don't play with Hickory's ask, why would you make the game harder? But for most of us, it's just about the love and the affection of trying to get in touch with the past. But players who play Hickory's for the first time often are surprised when they flush their first shot, because that energy comes up through the wood shaft, into the grip, through your hands, and straight into your heart. And for most of us, the first time you flush a shot with this antique golf club, you almost don't want to go back to modern golf.
Rob, is the game, when you're hitting the shots with these clubs, is your swing a little bit slower, more oily, more rhythmic perhaps than the equipment that we see in the modern game?
Yes, that's a great question. Yes, so Hickory, Damon, flexes, but it also torques. So it does help, generally, if you're swinging quickly, to slow your tempo down just a little bit. The premium in Hickory golf is on contact, you know, not unlike the modern game, but there's so much less technology in these old clubs to offset your weaknesses. So for most of us, you slow down your tempo a little bit, and most often it actually helps you with your modern game as well. Jordan Spieth was playing there in a jacket. That's the way they used to play, but of course they were in the Scottish Highlands. They were wearing the jacket to stay warm. But that restriction in a jacket sometimes can really help with a Hickory golf swing.
Rob, you seem to have found a real sweet spot in this game. Thanks for shedding light on Hickory Golf. We hope to speak to you sometime down the road.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.